Om Shri Ganeshaya Namaha. Om Namo Bhagavate. Please say that. Om Shri Ganeshaya Namaha. Om Namo Bhagavate. We bow to the Supreme Being that lives within all and is all. Om Namo Namaha. I had an experience yesterday that I want to share with you because it took me to a new level of being aware of what's possible once one is willing to let go of identity. Let me start by the first part of what the experience was. It was a deeper understanding of the lotus. We know what the lotus looks like that grows in the water and the muddy bottom and how it emerges from the mud. And some of us have a background in understanding different meanings about the lotus. So what I became clearer about was that the mud was an essential part of the blooming of the lotus, and that the mud was the enclosure for all that had to be transformed in order that the lotus could bloom. Our ego identity, our body, our way of looking at life is to want things to bloom on their own. And there's nothing wrong with that, except that in the process of transformation, it can't happen that way. We play a part in the degree to which transformation into the lotus can take place. It can't just be foisted upon us or delivered to us. Out of the mud of our own experience of unhealed places within ourselves, and out of the mud of the darkness that is carried, whether known or unknown, comes this flower that can only bloom through the transformation of the mud. So that was the first part of what I wanted to share with you, that whatever you are going through in the way of needing to deal with, let's say, repetitive issues in your life, or things that feel literally muddy, or things that feel literally dark, is part of the blooming of the lotus. And the place where we get lost is not being sure that it's going to happen. And so I came to another realization about this, which is that it's not a polarity between the mud and the lotus. It's not that one thing has to be finished before the other can begin. The mud, which is the sea of emotions and unhealed portions of consciousness and identity, can coexist with the blooming of the divine identity. With the blooming of it, you could say that they're in different locations within the self, or you could say that they're two parts of the same thing. Both would be true. So if you're holding an idea that something has to be completed in the way of healing before you can experience the lotus, which is your divine identity, that would be a picture that has partial truth and partial not truth. In order to arrive at the fullness of that shift into your divine being, yes, most or all of that mud needs to be transformed. But in order to have an experience, even a lasting experience, of your divine being, there's mud and then there's the lotus, and they can both be present. The thing is to not be seduced into thinking, because the muddiness of your own unhealed or shadowy or dark places, they're called so many things, just because that's there doesn't mean you need to stay there. There needs to be the aspiration towards feeling the divine identity, the mud, and neither one disappearing, neither one. For some people, the attachment to mud is more strong, and there needs to be a parting so that the divine radiance can be felt, even if only a little bit. And for other people, there's the soul awareness of the lotus, and the groundedness of emotional healing that's needed is not adequately perceived. It can go both ways. One needs the consciousness of the human, and one needs the consciousness of the divine. And only you will know which one you're holding on to more, because both need to be present. And denial can work in both directions. It can work so you don't believe that your divine being exists already, or it can work in the other direction so that you are not able or willing to be aware of the unconscious, unhealed places that are in need of your attention. The thing to do about this is just to know and to pray. That's all. You just need to know that these things are true and to pray, and not to think that the lotus emerges at the end of the line. It does, but the partial emergence of that sense of divine identity can happen sooner if one believes it can happen sooner. And if one is not completely attached to the mud of the unhealed portions of the self. I want to give you a minute to think about what I'm saying so you can reflect inside yourself about what needs to come more into balance within you, whether you need to see more of what is in need of healing, or whether you need to trust more and aspire more towards feeling that you are part of the oneness. When I speak of divine identity, that's primarily what I'm speaking about. The unity of consciousness, which is the oneness, is the divine mother, it lives in all things, is that. Which all carry within themselves. So try to feel, as you hear me speak, which way you need more of, which way you need more trust, more belief, more groundedness, more self-awareness. It could be in either direction, and both are important. I want to say more about this experience of crossing over that I called it, that happened yesterday. I have used words with you from time to time that have to do with divine identity. Words like becoming transparent or maybe even all the conversations we have about letting go. If you think about the conversations you've had here or with others about letting go, what do you need to let go of? We've had a lot of conversations about letting go. And I think that for each one, there is, in the process of becoming more aware, a sense of what needs to be let go of. And so we pray about it. And usually, not all the time, but usually, we come up with a feeling or an attitude. This attitude in me needs to be let go of. So then we try to recognize when that attitude comes up and to not be fully involved with it, not attached to it, when that feeling comes up. But I became aware yesterday that there was more that one could hope for about transparency and about divine identity. And it involves a complete letting go of identity altogether. Complete. So that you become completely defined by the divine. Completely. Which is to say that you become in consciousness an extension of divine love, divine will, divine truth. That is something that spiritual traditions of the world hold as a goal in different words and in different phrases. And what I saw was that it could happen more now. If there was a willingness and a desire, that it could happen more now. That the shift from an ego identity-based consciousness to a divine identity was possible through the willingness to completely not know oneself. We've talked about this before. We've talked about the transformational process and how it involves a shift out of the past into a place of not knowing what the next step is going to be, or what you're going to be like, or how to deal with the things you deal with. We've talked a lot about not knowing. And I became aware that not knowing as a willingness was the key to the divine identity. That if you take surrender of a feeling or an emotion or an attitude to the next level, what you are experiencing then is the breath of God. In other words, the surrender of ego identity brings you into becoming an extension of the breath of God. I knew all of this. I've known all of this for a very long time, only I didn't know that it was possible for everyone. Now, I didn't know it was possible for everyone. I knew it was a goal, and many of you probably know that it is a goal, but I didn't know it was possible for everyone, and I saw the relationship between the willingness for complete surrender and letting go of an identity through being willing to not know who you are, but to let God define who you are completely, completely. It's why from time to time I've spoken with you about becoming a baby. The Bible talks about becoming a child, but I went further into babyhood. Becoming a baby is pre-identity formation. It's before knowing who you're supposed to be, anything really. And sometimes I've said half jokingly, there's just us babies here, but it wasn't joking really. That's the truth of the shift into divine identity, is the willingness to know that God can define you completely. If you're willing to do that, if you're willing to surrender all the attachments to, I have to be this way, or this is what my life should be about, whatever. Now, why I asked in this process of understanding that it was possible for everybody, I knew that I had to give an example from my own experience, something that I don't do very often, but I'm going to do it right now. And I don't think this is entirely new, but maybe it is. I don't really know. My experience is of being transparent to the breath of the divine. Even though you and I are perceiving my body as a physical statement of embodiment, that's not how I perceive myself. I perceive the body as a level of reality that's holding the other reality, but it's not a self-perception. My self-perception is transparency to the breath of God. And I think that the reason I couldn't talk about it more is because I didn't know it was possible for everyone. And so it wasn't reasonable to me to just talk about my own experience. It didn't feel useful. There is, and there was for me in this experience I had yesterday, enormous freedom and enormous spaciousness. That wasn't new, it just went to a new level. Spaciousness, freedom from constraint, a sense of joy about having let go of all aspects of identity. Those are the things that come with this surrender into transparency. Those, spaciousness, freedom, joy. And because one has let go of identity, what comes about naturally without trying to do anything about it is a desire to give of oneself. It's just there. It's just there. In fact, it's probably all that's there as a motivation. The pure desire to give of oneself. Because there's no longer a state of need of anything. And so what's left beyond the state of need is the pure desire to give of oneself. We get limited by our self-perceptions. We think small, and the self-perceptions of smallness are reinforced by the way other people in the world respond to us. This is a natural phenomenon. We think in terms of the body identity, and we think in terms of the limitations we've grown up with, and we think in terms of our historical past. Those are all the natural definitions of the ego identity. And then the world responds to us, as I was saying, responds to my body as if that's who I am. But it's not who I am. It's who you see. It's not who I am. It's who this layer of reality is. But it's not my experience of who I am. One has to be willing to go to this place, and only you would know whether what I describe as the gifts of letting go of the identity completely are worth it. There is, for most people, fear involved. The fear that it won't happen, mostly. That there'll just be a letting go and there'll just be an empty place and there's nothing there to hold on to. Well, that's true. There's nothing there to hold on to. That's exactly right. There is nothing there to hold on to, and that experience is what allows the divine identity to come into being. That there's nothing there to hold on to. That's why the breath of God is such a meaningful, and it's not even a metaphor, it's a literal, I don't know what to call it, experience or phenomenon. The breath of God is what happens when there's nothing left to hold on to. So that may feel very unappealing to you. And if so, you have to be content or patient with that or not. You have to ask yourself what it is in this present time of your life that you desire. Nobody can decide that for you, and nobody should decide that. Not myself either. You are where you are about holding on and letting go. What I became aware of is that I could describe the landscape of it better than I have in the past because I knew that it was possible. And before then, I was limited in what I could say. The breath of God is the phenomenon of divine union, experienced as the union of human will with divine will and human identity with divine identity. That's what it is. And remember what I said at the beginning. It's not that the mud disappears. It's that this process of transforming into the divine self that you are can happen while that's still present, just as the lotus is growing out of the mud. It has to do with what you're willing to be or do in order that that can happen. It requires participation. It was one of those small things that dawned on my consciousness that a word that I've used internally, and sometimes to you also, transparency, could become a goal in life for everyone. Should it be a goal? you decide that, whether it's a goal. You decide what your purpose is now in your present life. You decide. But that it can be a goal, I now know that I didn't and didn't before. Transparency is a way of life that allows the ego identity to be dissolved in the divine identity so that one can be set free from limitation. And so that one can experience that divine union in the ways that the heart has longed for it for so long. You know, the Veda's prayer is coming to me, the chant, which is so beautiful. Asatoma Satkamaya, Tamasoma Jyotir Gamaya, Mrityur Amritam Gamaya, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Lord, lead me from falseness to truth, from darkness to light, from death to immortality. Well, we have that aspiration, most of us, that wish to be led, but we don't believe it can happen now. That's the thing about the mud. It becomes an enclosure that we identify with. And then there are all kinds of reasons that we identify about why we have to stay in the mud. The energies of darkness being one of the primary ones. The energies of darkness are real. They are that which influences the mud to feel like it's an enclosure, or some would say an entrapment. The energies of darkness act to reinforce the belief that one is the mud. That's what they do. But that's not the truth, and it isn't the truth even while the mud is present. The lotus requires the mud in order to bloom. Whatever the mud is in your consciousness, the lotus is growing out of it. And while I was wandering in this consciousness and understanding this image that was for everyone, I remembered Sri Aurobindo's symbol, which I feel in its root is the same thing as that I'm saying, only it looks like water, but it's the same lotus growing out of the water, which is the mud, which is the human emotional self. And so I felt that as well, that it was the same process that was being described in different language. So what does this mean for you? You decide that. You decide what you believe. I want to convey the hope that comes from my own experience that I'm now offering to you, that's a possibility for a way that is more complete of letting go of what you have been afraid you could never let go of. And it involves, again, what I said. It involves being willing to hold on to nothing. Freedom. Holding on to nothing. It's the freedom to hold on to nothing that allows the divine identity just to arise. It just happens that way. The human part is the willingness to let go. And the divine part is the lotus that was always there, but it wasn't able to be perceived because it was covered over by all the mud. So your own willingness, your own sense of what's possible, needs to be the decisive factor. But I see and offer to you that transparency to the breath of God can become a way of life. And that the attachment to the identity that we've held on to has been, understandably, the way of life that human beings have had, but it's in the process of being transformed, collectively transformed. Now it's a question of whether we transform it individually. So when you think about, or not think about, the things that I've been sharing today, just sit with all of it in your own deeper self. Your own deeper self will tell you what you're ready for. You don't have to have a big conversation about it. Your own deeper self will tell you. And I am here to describe even more than I have in the past what this way of transparency is, because it can be yours, and I know that it can. It's for you to know that it can as well. Om Namo Bhagavate, Om Namo Namaha.